Good morning, church.
Oh, nice.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 20, 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your day may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Owen and Becca, for reading the Ten Commandments to us this morning. It's a joy to be here this morning. Last week, we looked at the Second Commandment, and we finished our study on the Second Commandment. And this week, we are going to begin our first look at the Third Commandment. And so in Exodus 20, verse 7, the third commandment says this: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, for many of us here, this is a commandment that we've heard often and probably have been taught a certain way. And so I want us to take a moment and pause and ask ourselves, how have you been taught this commandment typically? I would not be surprised if for many of us here, it's actually for the fact that I just saw the sign go up and say it's time to release the kids. Look at that. All right. So let me take a moment and pause real fast and pray and release the kids to go. So Lord, we thank you for our children. We thank you for what they have an opportunity to have this morning to go and join together and learn about you. Lord, we pray that they would grow strong and they would know who you are and be able to be your witnesses in all the earth. Lord, we pray this in your name. Well, let's try this again. As I was saying before, we often have been taught a certain way, and I wouldn't be surprised if for many of us here this morning, we have been taught the third commandment as we need to watch how we use the name of God. When we hear the word, take your name in vain, don't take the Lord's name in vain, it's most likely been taught to us that it's a prohibition against, honestly, swearing or not using God's name frivolously. But what's interesting is as I've studied the text this week and in the past, I began to realize that maybe it's a little bit more, not maybe, but I think it's a little bit more than just avoiding how we use God's name. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to take a deeper look at what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain and how that plays out. To do that, I think what I want us to take some time to do is I want us to ask, what is a name? What does it mean to bear his name? And how is Jesus the great name bearer? Now, for us to start, as we begin, I want us to take a moment and ask this question. What is a name? All of us in this room have been given a name, and that name is important to us. It was given to us at birth, and hopefully everyone in this room is proud of the name you carry. And with that desire and pride that we carry toward our name, we want our name to be used with respect. But even more so, our last names are important as well. They're important in society. They point to our history, where we've come from, honestly, who our parents are, our grandparents, and so on. What's interesting is with this idea of a name, one day while I was in college, I had a roommate. His name was Minyoki Mowa. Minyoki was from Kenya, and what's really interesting is one day my roommates and I discovered something super interesting about Minyoki's last name. Mowa was not a name that everyone in his family carried. Actually, Mowa was the first name of his father. You see, in his family and in his tradition, his family's tradition, it was very common for the father, when the child was born, for him to take his name and place his first name on the child and make that the child's last name. Why would this happen? Well, when we asked Minyoki, Minyoki just smiled at us and said, well, it's because I'm my father's son. And my father loved me. And because he loved me, he wanted to place his name upon me because he viewed me as a treasured possession. What's interesting is God doesn't see us, Moa and God are not very that dissimilar, actually. If we look at Exodus 19, 4 through 6, we see how God views his people as a treasured possession as well. In Exodus 19, 4 through 6, we read, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be my kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." In this passage, we read that God is telling Moses to tell the people of Israel that they are his treasured possession. What a beautiful picture that is. The people of Israel were viewed as something special, as a treasured possession. Now, for all of us here, when we think of a treasured possession, this idea of a treasured possession, many times what pops in our head is maybe one of two things. The first is probably maybe an object. For those of you that are car people, it might be a car that you treasure dearly and you want to take care of. You want it to be handled with care. You never drive it out when it's raining, so you didn't drive it at all last week or the week before. Or a treasured possession for many of us here is most likely our families, our spouses, our siblings, our parents, our children. However, what I found really interesting as I studied this week, the word for treasured possession in this passage is kind of used a little differently during this time and during this place in history. So if we, again, I love looking at Hebrew words, and so I'm going to teach you two Hebrew words this week. So the first one I'm going to teach you is the word for treasured possession, and that is segula, okay? Sounds really fun. It has a fun way of sounding. And segula was used often during this time during the times when kings were setting treaties, and they were putting treaties in place, which is really interesting because when we think of a treasured possession, we automatically, our minds and our understanding of our English understanding of the word, we automatically go to the two things that we talked about. I never thought of a king's, this to be used during a king's treaty ceremony or something along those lines. But actually, during this time, a king would send forth a representative for a treaty, and he would send out a person. And that person would go forward to another country, and he would be his treasured possession, his segula, his representative, or what we would call today in our modern time, his ambassador. And when the representative would go out, this treasured possession would go out, it was known by all that this was someone that the king highly valued. He highly respected. He highly sought and favor and knew that whatever this person said, it was seen as for people. They saw it as this was the king's voice, what he said, what he did, and how he acted represented the king in everything that he was doing. So, with that in mind, when we read Exodus 19 and we read how God is calling the people of Israel to be his treasured possessions, He is viewing them as something, as a people that is so important, that he values highly, yes, but at the same time, he says, you are so valuable to me, I want you to be my representative. I want you to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I want you to represent my name to all the people and all the nations that surround you. So with this in mind, it kind of begins to shape our understanding of why when we get to Exodus 20 and we read that you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain in verse 7, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless for those who take his name in vain, we begin to gain a better picture of how this is laying out. God in chapter 19 is saying, hey, I want you, people of Israel, to be my representatives to all the nation. I want you to represent me to everyone that you see. So don't do it in vain. Don't misrepresent me and how you talk about me. Don't misrepresent me and how you speak about me. Don't misrepresent me. What's even more interesting is when we get to this idea of taking the name of the Lord in vain, this passage, again, here's another Hebrew word, and I told you I was going to teach you two this weekend, or today, and this is the second one I'm going to teach you, and it is the word for to take. When we read in Exodus 20, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The first thing that pops in our head because of English, and there's nothing wrong with this, is it begins often, our minds begin to go in a realm of how we use God's name, how we speak his name. I don't really know why that's how our mind works, but that just seems to be how our English language points us in. But what's really interesting is when we look at this passage and we read the Hebrew for the word to take, it's actually a word, the word nasa. It's a beautiful word. I actually really like this word. It's an easy one to remember. It's spelled N-A-S-A. And if you are quick on knowing how things spell in your head, you think of the word NASA. We're not talking about the American Space Program. We're talking about the Hebrew word today, NASA. And what's really interesting about NASA and this word to take is when you look at the Hebrew word for this, it means to bear, to carry, or to take up. Why is that so important for us to understand this morning? Well, God is telling us to bear his name well. And for us to understand what that means, we have to look at the historical context of what's taking place. And thankfully, God doesn't make us wait long in Scripture. If we look ahead into Exodus 20, verse 19, we begin to see how God is showing us by example what he means for us to take up and carry the name of the Lord. In Exodus 28, what's taking place in this passage is God is giving rules and regulations on how the priests should wear the garments that they should wear when they do fulfill their duties for the tabernacle. In this, we see God starts to explain in greater detail how Aaron should dress. And as you see on the screen behind me, you see a picture of Aaron. Well, I don't know. It's a picture of a priest. That's not Aaron. But the point being is Aaron, in verse 29 of chapter 28, Aaron is told to wear an ephod. An ephod is this plate or a breastplate. And it's kind of hard to see, but you can see it on the screen. And on that ephod were the names of the tribes of Israel. Aaron would bear the names of Israel on his chest. He would carry them before God every time he would do his duties. And he would represent the people of Israel before, he was their representative before God. But what's even more interesting is if you can see in this picture on Aaron's head, he has a piece of gold strapped to the turban on his head. And in verse 36, of this chapter of 28, we read that Aaron is told to take a piece of gold and put it on and write on it a few words. And what's really interesting is the words say, written in Hebrew, holy, belonging to the Lord. And Aaron is supposed to take this golden plaque and place it on his forehead. And he is supposed to wear that as a representative for the people of Israel as he goes back and forth into doing his duties. What we begin to see is Aaron is a great representative, a physical representative God has set forward for the people of Israel to see how he is supposed to bear the name of Yahweh, bear the name of the Lord on his head. It says, holy, belonging to the Lord, written in Hebrew, as a representative to remember that the name of God is written on his forehead, and he is supposed to be that treasured possession, that word again that I talked about initially, segula, treasured possession for the people of Israel. He is their representative before God. But the Bible says that not only Aaron is not supposed to only be the representative before God for the people of Israel, the people of God, Israel, are supposed to be God's representative before the nation, the nations that are around them. Dr. Imes says it, summarizes it best in her book when she writes, we can see how this connects to the high priest. He is the visual model of the vocation of the entire nation. Just as the high priest represents Yahweh to them, so they represent, they being Israel, represent Yahweh to the nation. By looking at Aaron, every Israelite is reminded of the call of their calling as a nation. Just as he is set apart for service to be holy, representative for the people of Israel, they, the people of Israel, are to be set apart as a holy nation. You see, at Sinai, Yahweh claims this nation as his very own and releases them to live out their calling. And that calling is to bear or to take up the name of Yahweh. As we begin to understand, with this understanding in place, we begin to realize that, wait a second, this commandment, the third commandment that we've read, where it says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, begins to take a new light. It's no longer a prohibition against swearing. It's no longer a prohibition against how you say things and how you use the name of the Lord. We no longer are able to say, hey, I can check this one off when we read the Ten Commandments because, you know, I don't use God's name inappropriately. I don't speak it wrong. We begin to realize that it has much more to do with how we live our life. What's even more interesting is this understanding of how Aaron is our representative for the people of Israel and how Israel was called to be the representative for God and however, wherever they went, is backed even more so when we look at Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord tells Moses to tell Aaron something, and this is what he says. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. In this passage, we read how God is calling Aaron to put the name of the Lord on the people of Israel. The fact that he is placing the name upon them to bless them, but also it is for them to be that representative, that segula, that ambassador wherever they go. What's even more interesting is at the end of his ministry, Moses gives a final sermon. And as he's giving his final sermon before the Israelites leave and go into the promised land, he reminds the people of Israel once again in Deuteronomy 26. He reminds them telling them using the same word, you are a treasured possession. You are God's segula. You are his ambassadors. You are his representatives. And they are, and he says to them that they are to be wholly belonging to the Lord. No longer is the name being placed on Aaron anymore, where we read in Exodus 28, where the golden plaques is, it's now physically now been stated and spoken over the people of Israel. You are holy, belonging to the Lord, and you are to be God's treasured possessions, his representatives, wherever you go and in whatever you do. Again, this idea of keeping the command to bear God's name and not in vain becomes a little bit more interesting because it helps us, as we've understood this, it helps us have a better understanding of why, when we read through the scriptures and we read through the Old Testament, there are prohibitions against certain things that sometimes I would scratch my head as a young kid going, why is that considered breaking the third commandment? I mean, for example, in Leviticus 18:22, we read how God condemned the people of Israel for sacrificing their kids to idols. Now, that's bad in the first place, I get that. But for the fact that it's tied to breaking the third commandment, it didn't make sense to me as a kid. But as I began to understand that as a representative for God and bearing his name, it meant that we were to be different, that they were to be different and set apart. And what was taking place here in Leviticus 18:20-21 is that God's people looked no different from anyone else around them. They weren't set apart. They weren't representing God and what he had done for them. They were being like everyone else, and they were worshiping idols of their neighbors. This is also why in 2 Chronicles 33, 4 through 7, we read how it was a condemnation for breaking the third commandment is how it was tied to worshiping other idols or even just living a life that didn't honor God. It's amazing as we begin to understand this idea of taking up the name of the Lord or bearing it, how it's more than just how we speak. And with this understanding, there becomes a greater depth, or in some ways for me, when this reality struck me, a greater weight hit my shoulders with the understanding that maybe I haven't been bearing the name of the Lord well. I haven't been doing the best at living my life and honoring God's name the way that I should. But you know, there's hope. Because as we all know, and as we read this morning in our worship service, there is a great name bearer. And his name is Jesus. The greatest name bearer of all time was Jesus. He came and he allowed himself to be humbled. He allowed himself to be humbled and to become a man and live a life that was perfect and also die on a cross to set us free. That's why when we read Philippians 2, 9, verses 9 through 11, we have a greater understanding. It says this, "Therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Do we see the picture here? Christ humbled himself and lived among us to become the great name bearer. We had an example of how someone was supposed to be the representative for the people of Israel, Aaron. But you know, Aaron was not a perfect person. He was a fallen person. But we have Christ. And what's amazing is by the example that we saw in Exodus 28, how Aaron bore the names of the tribes of Israel on his chest, Jesus bears our name for us as our representative before the Father, Jesus, the great name bearer. But even more than that, Jesus bears the name of the Lord on his forehead, and he is our representative. He is the one that we can look to. He is our example. He is the one when we are struggling, when we don't know how to bear God's name well, we can look to Christ and see and understand who he is and how he is our example. Christ is the great name bearer. that allows us to understand what it means to bear the name of the Lord and bear it well. When we are going throughout life, when we are walking in life, Jesus has been and will be the great name bearer that has humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, God's perfect representative, the perfect ambassador. He is holy and set apart so that we might have access to the Father. And then we are called from darkness into marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim his excellencies, the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We all have been marked by God through the work of his Son. And when we call upon his name, Jesus, that name is above every name. And that name is the name that makes us bow down in worship and great understanding. We no longer are lost in darkness because we are now his chosen people. We are now his royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are his representatives. We are his treasured possession, so that we may proclaim his excellencies in word, action, and deed. The question is this morning for all of us is, how are we bearing the name of the Lord? How are we bearing the name of the Lord? Again, as I've highlighted, we thankfully are not sacrificing idols, our children to idols. I mean, I hope not. Please don't do that. But at the same time, we're also not blatantly bowing down to graven images in our backyard. However, the question is for us is, what does it mean to bear the name of the Lord well in our modern time? Well, I think it means that we should avoid anything that does not allow us to be his representative. So yes, I do believe that we should avoid misusing the Lord's name. I think we should avoid saying, "Oh my," when we're scared or shocked. I think we should avoid misusing Jesus' name when we're angry. I do believe that that is a part of this commandment, but I do also believe that it's so much more. I think that we should avoid all unwholesome talk and how we communicate to others. You see, this commandment, bearing the name of the Lord, points more to the fact that are we representing God and showing the world that we are his treasured possessions and we have been made new and we are his new creation? Are we living a testimony that highlights what God has done in our life? Now, I'm not really talking about the testimony that we speak about, and I'm not really talking about the testimony that we share when we get up in front of church. What I'm talking about more specifically is the testimony that we live out at home with our family when no one else is around. I'm talking about the testimony that we live out when we're at work. Is the way that we live our life highlighting the fact that we have been changed and made a new creation? Is the way that we live our life pointing people where they see us and instantly know right away that we are a child of God, that we are set apart and we are different? Or is the name, or are we bearing God's name in a way that makes us look like everyone else in this world? This is the question that we have to ask ourselves. And this is what I truly do believe that God is telling his people, the people of Israel, in this moment at Mount Sinai, when he says to the Israelites, do not bear my name in vain. Don't bear my name in vain. Don't make it so that no one can understand who I am and what I've done for you. So here's the question that I have for us this morning. How are you carrying the name of the Lord? Are you representing the work of Christ and what he's done for you and how you have been changed? Or are you carrying his name in vain in such a way that no one would be able to see that you are God's treasured possession, that you are his ambassador? This is a question that I've honestly had to wrestle with this week, and there have been areas that I think God has convicted me in. But what is God telling you this morning and how you are living your life and bearing the name of God? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for the fact that you are a God that is worthy to be praised. We thank you for the fact that you are a God that has sent your Son to die on the cross for us. That you sent your Son so that we could call upon his name to be saved. That you sent your Son so that when we call upon his name, we would be changed. And through the sanctifying work of him in our lives, we can be your representative. We can be a great name bearer. So Lord, I pray for all of us here. I pray for all of us in this room that as we go out this week, that as we seek to be your representative, as we seek to be your treasured possessions in all of this, in all of Stanton and Augusta County, that we would be able to bear your name well, that we would be able to bear it in a way that shows what you've done and who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.